Veronica Costa Martinez. I can tell you a lot about Veronica. She was my master's student, so but I probably won't tell you all that good stuff. So, but she's now with ARS. She's in Texas, and she was one of the first people to publish with pyrosequencing in soil, I believe. So, with that, I will leave her some time to talk.
Good morning. Thank you to all of you for being here. Yeah, and maybe they can't see me either.
Over here,
so. No, that's fine. I'll find my way and I'll move. Thanks to all for being here. And the talks have been so interesting, and I'm so excited to look at how we can connect all our research and the research being conducted on different organisms to the phytobiome. And also, it was interesting that we were going south as we were giving the talk, so it helps me with my explanations of the area that I have been doing research on for the past about 14 years. So I will be talking about the role of enzyme activities in soil ecosystem services, their origin and location in soils, and trying to make the connections of these enzymes to the phytobiome. Generally, as we were discussing on how our research focuses on looking for systems that could show enhancements in the soil health and the functions, any changes in the management will impact soil organisms, the soil biology, the soil microbial community. In my area of research, we look at how they impact the size, the composition, in terms of the diversity, and how it happens through also the activities of enzymes. Changes in the activities of enzymes could help in impacting nutrient cycling, building soil organic matter, changing the soil organic matter quantity and quality, and also the products and the release of substrates through the enzymatic machinery of the soil could also help aggregating the soil better and changing several functions, like Jennifer was explaining, on improving the resistance of that soil to erosion, carbon sequestration, the nutrient availability, and ultimately soil and plant productivity. Over the years, I have been doing enzyme about 10 different enzyme activities that can provide then together information of the biochemical cycling and the soil organic matter dynamics with 1 gram that is incubated with the different substrates that are specific for the reactions to be measured. After incubation, we measure the product release with simple approaches that would involve then the colorimetric determination of the product release. And you can measure about 100 samples per day. And in less than 10 days, you could really measure all different enzyme activities. There are other techniques that could be with the titration. But doing this over the years, you could have better indexes over time for different soils and in different climatic regions. So we measured activities of at least 3 enzymes that can provide information of carbon cycling. Beta-glucosidase is an important enzyme that has been included in different indexes for soil quality. And together with other enzymes can provide information of the release of simple carbon substrates for soils, organisms in terms of energy and substrates availability. And chitin degradation also can be, as the second most abundant polysaccharide in nature, can be also the transformation and degradation of it, can be also tracked with an enzyme that we use. We also do different enzymes that are more involved in the release of ammonium for amino acids, and also have other enzymes that can provide information of the release of ammonium from other organic nitrogen sources. We also have 1 enzyme that we can use to provide more information of the sulfur cycling. And 3 different enzymes that helps in providing information of the release of phosphates, the mineralization of organic phosphorus sources in soils for plant available phosphorus. And together, as I was saying, it can help with different ways of looking at their trends to provide information of soil organic matter transformation dynamics. enzymes as being generally then associated more to the microbial component, as they are more in numbers and smaller, and generally then have been associated one of the pools of enzymes in soils to be that intracellular enzymatic pool. They can be then that way from an active living cell transferred to the through growth and division. They can also be found in dead intact cells, and they can also be found on resting structures that are gonna be active as soon as substrates are available. But once the enzymes are released in the soil, we can count more with the other organisms as a pool of this other enzymatic component that we call the extracellular enzymatic pool, and that I believe could provide more information about the management history of that soil. Generally, then the enzymes could be just for a shorter time like that with an enzyme substrate complex, but they can be longer stabilized in soils, surfaces, clay, minerals, and the humic substances. So we believe this is a very important enzymatic pool that our research looks for ways that management could enhance microbial communities, their release, the soil biology, their release of enzymes that will be stabilizing that soil for a long time. As it was described before, we are in a region with sandy soils, less than 1% of organic matter content. If we are under more cotton production, then it tends to incorporate low biomass to the soils. And with intensive tillage, then what we look for is for different management or any changes in management that could help that soil and increase the capacity of that soil to stabilize better the extracellular enzymatic pool of enzymes. One of the examples of the research that we were conducted with one of our graduate students was then the evaluating the incorporation of sorghum cropping systems in the region for biofuel initiatives on this marginal land. As you can see how generally when cotton is grown, there is not much coverage of that soil. Generally then the low residue that is incorporated could be enhanced when we grow sorghum that can cover better the soil. And interestingly then cotton production requires more water, but when it's not possible to even crop the cotton that year, then they can go to sorghum. It's more water stress tolerant, and you can produce that amount of biomass in dry land actually. So we found the amount of biomass that is possible to do for biofuel initiative and to have land like this one, then that could be even improved and available to supply the biofuel demands of the nation. And what we found in terms of just 1 year transition into sorghum cropping systems is how it can change the microbial community composition. So we found with fatty acid profiles, as Jennifer was explaining the technique, an increase on certain markers for gram-positive bacteria, up to about 20% of increase with that transition into sorghum. But as we can see here also, certain markers could be then decreased. And that's when we can see the importance of going also into other techniques that could look also at the species level. So we can tell that certain species of gram-positive bacteria were increased. Two of the markers that we use, we have used others too. In this case, these two markers show with an increase also with that transition into sorghum. And also we can see that for actinomycetes, there was one marker also that was increased with that shift to sorghum production, while others were decreased. And the maximum increase was found for the marker that generally is an indicator of certain mycorrhiza groups, while the saprophytic population's fungal marker was decreased. But that increase on the arbuscular mycorrhiza was very significant 51% of increase. So what these changes could be translated into is that we found up to 2 years already into the transition of sorghum an increase by 35% of the enzyme that is involved in cellulose degradation. The enzyme that is involved in chitin degradation was increased to 40%. And we also found increases in aryl-sulfatase activity, and the maximum increase also here that we found was for the enzyme that one of them that is involved in phosphorocycline. What we wanted is to make connections. These early changes on the microbial communities were correlated to changes on the enzyme activities. And generally then also something that we are doing is to do a sum of the different levels of the activities of enzymes, taking the root of that, and then obtaining a geometric mean that was obtained by a student from Oregon State. I think the last name is Belen. And that in this case, then we could have an overall overview of an increase of 25% in the biochemical potential of that soil with that transition in that region, in that low organic matter content soil, to sorghum production. And that early, we found the most significant correlation of the increase in the activity of phosphodiesterase activity with that marker for Arbuscula mycorrhiza. So when you go beyond that over the years, it may be that not always the activities of the enzymes may be correlated to a change in the microbial communities. This is one example of a study that we did it for 5 years, incorporating gradually sorghum into the cropping system. So like here we have the low levels that generally you'll find for, in this case, then we have also a geometric mean of six enzymes. And once we started adding grain sorghum, in this case, into the cotton cropping system, and also as possible a winter cover crop here, because even on those 5 years on a dryland setting, we couldn't have a winter cover crop every year, we found already three times greater enzyme activities in the rotation. And these changes also did not happen as fast as when you had then the forage sorghum in the other study. Very similar soils. These are both very sandy soils, very similar. It took time. It took the 5 years. Even in 3 years, we already saw the increases then on the activities of the enzymes. When we didn't have cotton, we had then forage sorghum and a winter cover crop when possible. And by year five, then the activities of the enzymes were 7 times greater on a system without cotton, on a sandy soil like this. But what was very interesting is that then after these 5 years, in year six, we incorporated cotton again in all these cropping systems. And doing that, we also incorporated the cotton over time. We could see a significant decrease in the activities of the enzymes on this system that will never have cotton. And it was then showing a decrease on the activities of the enzymes. For the other systems also, we saw the same trends over time as we incorporated cotton, more cotton, into the cropping systems and did not have the winter cover crops. And what this is showing is how then that management, previous management history, will influence that extracellular pool. So by increasing the soil microbial communities at points, they release more enzymes that were stabilized in the soil, and that then even over time that you could not maintain the same rotations and management history, you still will have the benefits of the management that was done. This is also something very interesting that we found on how it connects to the crop yields, the levels of the enzyme activities and the importance of the management. When we did the soil sampling at year five and measured all these different enzyme activities, we found three different enzymes, the ones involved in carbon cycling and this one of phosphorocycline, that showed a positive correlation with the next year cotton yields when everything, all the plots were into cotton. So even though at that point the cotton yields were not significantly different, only on the system that never had cotton, the management matters as gradually then increasing the microbial communities and their enzymes is showing how the enzyme activities are correlating and having an impact on crop yields. So as we look at these changes that management can influence on the microbial component, soil biology, and their enzymes, and how it impacts the soil health and functions, we need to also understand better how climate change is going to impact the soil ecosystem. We are having more frequent droughts and heat waves, and it's just erratic. It's just that the changes in the climate are being very, very erratic. Like, for example, we faced in 2011 a record drought and heat wave in which, in the area here shown, we faced a drought exceptional with 8 consecutive months of minimum rain, and generally it was about 1.5 inches of rain what really we received. And then this was together with also then in this area in Texas a record warmest year. By July 2011, the temperatures were almost 3 degrees above average. So what we did is to take soil samples during that record drought and heat wave in different soils under different management, and then we took samples over time. And what we found first is that generally we still found that the enzyme activities were fingerprints of the management. There were 2 to 3 times greater enzyme activities in the rotations that I sampled compared to monoculture sites. And generally this was even found during that drought and heat wave event. And then the second trend that was then interesting here is that we did not expect that we would found greater levels of the enzyme activities in that drought and heat wave event compared to the samples and the measurements over time. And we did find generally then up to 40% greater levels of these enzyme activities together in a geometric mean during this event in July of 2011 compared to the next year in July 2012. What we also found at that point with high throughput sequencing approaches is several predominant phyla, bacterial phyla that are associated to carbon, nitrogen cycling, extreme conditions, and the decomposition of organic matter, as well as 2 different classes of fungi that were very predominant during that event. And have been suggested to be also then involved in the composition process and lightening the composition. But what was interesting here also is that this could lead to show how they were linked to the greater enzyme activities during that event. But we didn't find clear trends on this taxa due to management. And then another thing that we found then here that could be driving the greater enzyme activities in this event, when you compare that here, the temperatures were so greater and extreme compared to the next year, it could then be indicating that with the drought, the exposition of the aggregates and the substrates, the activities from the extracellular enzymes then show with greater Vmax and were increased, and we're also contributing to the total activity due to the greater temperatures that were experienced during that time. And that makes sense if you look at the fact that then over time, the activities of the enzymes will be decreasing due to possibly then a reduction and exhaustion of the substrates available over time. And what we found also is that although always the rotation would also show greater levels of organic matter content in here, total carbon, compared to the monoculture systems, we did find significant decreases on the level of total carbon by 2 grams of carbon per kilogram of soil of reductions that we found from one sampling time to later after that. What this also is correlating and showing is how more cycles like this of heat waves will increase the activities of this extracellular pool with expenses to the expense of the organic matter content. So we need to understand better the effects of climate change, of these record droughts, heat events, cold fronts, on the microbial component, understand what are the microbes that are in charge, what are the implications that we have, to see how we could understand better the climate change effects, because as more of these events happen, it will make that soil more vulnerable and with less capacity to cope with these conditions and enhance and increase the extracellular pool for the future. So our goal is to establish indexes in the recovery of biochemical potential. Some of the things that we have been trying is to take samples from different management in that region. Generally, then, if we look at different enzymes, here we have 7 enzymes, and assigned 100% of the biochemical potential recovery to soils on the native rangeland that has been undisturbed for so long. When we look at soils under CRP that were sampled and measured the same enzymes, it could be possible that they show, according to these indexes, the geometric mean, a 70% of recovery of the biochemical potential compared to the native rangeland. In this case, for the rotation that we sampled, it showed 50% of the recovery of all these enzyme activities with respect to native rangeland. When we looked at another soil with a lower sand content and just a little bit of more clay, but it's also soils that have less than 1% of organic matter content, we found also the same 70% potentially index of biochemical potential recovery with respect to native rangeland, but we found 30% of the recovery for this rotation. And what was different is that these soils were under incorporation of wheat into the cropping systems, while these ones were under sorghum. So doing indexes like this, it's possible that we help producers to understand better what direction is taking the soil in terms of recovery of biochemical potential and soil health with the different management that they are selecting. And it's our goal. One example here that we have is how doing an average for both soil types that I presented before, the study that I was saying that was under just 2 years transition of forage sorghum for biofuel initiative would place the soils like here in between the continuous cotton and the rotation in terms of the recovery of biochemical potential. So understanding the complex interactions of management and climate change on soil health and functions will require that, as we have done this morning, we combine our resources and expertise to study the whole phytobiome. We need to also find ways to reach globalization of methods and approaches to study the soil biodiversity as function. Use all techniques available, but for example, just for the enzyme activities, if we could use similar approaches and methods and the way to do it, we could compare better across different regions. And establishes indexes for enzyme activities of biochemical potential and soil organic matter dynamics is what I tried to do today. There are different ways that we could do it, and I just propose a way that I was trying to make connections here and have trends of changes over time for our region. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
connections with the different approaches available, more to the species level. Actually, now that we have better ways, as Jennifer was discussing with phylosequencing now at Illumina, it's always hard because when you measure the activities of the enzymes, there could be that extracellular pool that I was mentioning. But also, I am going to move into looking also at other techniques that are recently now more available, as Dean was explaining, on the genetic expression of different functions and making